I was hoping you'd go a little longer. You know, when you get called, when you get a text message from the teacher on Sunday or on Saturday morning asking you to teach on Sunday. No, I'm kidding. First off, I've given this to several of y'all. Have any of y'all not gotten one of these? Would you want to borrow one for this morning? I have 9 of them with me. We're going to try to... Okay. We're going to... We're going to work a little bit on the timeline. I've kind of set my mind in the... Charlie and I have talked about it. When I present on the Sunday morning that Charlie's gone, I was going to start the timeline, but since I got this chance and I'd already worked on the timeline some, this helped to ease my anxiety of teaching the next day by starting already having quite a bit of it outlined and ready to go. So, if you look on this timeline, you'll see on the first portion here, there's this little inset. This little inset is the link basically up to Noah. There's a little beyond Noah, but primarily up to Noah and the flood. That covers about 2,300 years of history, roughly, round numbers. Because you'll find it, nowhere in the Bible does it say that this man lived 600 years and 3 months and 2 days. It's always rounded to years. And probably because the reason that is a lot of that was written by word of mouth passed down. But if you look, you'll find that there are 6 men that were, you can link through those 6 men from Adam to Noah. For 2,300 years, there are 6 men, and all of them overlap in life, and they were 6 men who were known to each other. If you read back through the Bible, these men knew each other. I want to say it was ending with Lamech. I have it back in. I don't have a copy of it up here with me, but those 6 men very easily could have passed the entire history from creation down through. I do believe that God handed to the writer of Genesis the timeline of the creation, because nobody but God was there during the creation. So if you start looking back through and you do some timings and you add and subtract years and stuff, who knows what year creation was? Rough number. Anybody got a round number? How about 4004 BC? 4004 BC, if you start crunching numbers backwards, you'll find that creation was 4004 BC. There's some different numbers used by different people. Probably the foremost authority or the most recognized authority goes from anywhere from 3,800 to 4,200, 400 year numbers. Just by there's some years that you could slide just a little bit. Then so that would mean the curse was 10 days after creation. That number is a given. And then 2348 BC is when they say that the flood was. And that's another one of those. There's about a 400 year debate back and forth. And before I go any further on this, one of the things is why is this important? Who cares when it happened? It all happened a long time ago, right? Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter that it happened. You have to accept that it happened. You have to accept that the Bible says it happened. But the reason it's important for us as Christians to understand these timelines is so that we can ascertain that there were six men who, from creation to the flood, overlapped in life to that passed these stories down. And you know, things that we accept that are written in the Bible because we accept truth. One of the important things for knowing these timelines is so that when somebody asks you a question, a non-Christian asks you, well, how do you get that number? Well, if you back these dates up and you back this time up, you come to this number. Because we know that scientists, how old do they say the earth was? So if you say the earth is that old, then throw everything we're talking about out the window. Because in my belief, the earth was without form, and I don't think it sat there spinning for years and years and years without form. But it doesn't matter if it sat there for years and years without form. When Christ spoke it into form is when the earth as we know it today, the mountains, the oceans, that's where this came about. There was a lot of remolding of the earth, I think, during the flood because there was a lot of water. If you look at how much water, 15 cubits of water is a lot of water. And there were a lot of things that happened during that time. I don't want to try to explain fossil fuel to everybody, but if you want to say it's dead animals and you want to say it's fossil fuel, I believe God put oil under the earth for our use, and I don't think that it's based on dead animals at all. I think he put it right where he wanted us to have it, and he's used that to control world powers. And but people who want to explain it say, well, the flood could cause that, and it could have. That pressure on those fossils for how many days was the flood? Flood was 40 days. How long was the water on the earth? It was 150 days. You know, there's a lot of these numbers that we throw about that if, like, a lot of people think that Moses didn't build the ark, that Noah built the ark in 120 years. Well, there's pretty good evidence that it was about 98 years. God started his warnings to the people at 120 years. And he didn't start he may have started gathering the materials and things like that, but actual building of the ark was about 98 years, and that's based on, how old was he when Shem was born? 583 years old. And you just have to back these dates up and see a lot of these dates. And we're going to go through these dates pretty closely, but I'm trying to lay some groundwork that some of the numbers that you remember out of the Bible are based on actual numbers in the Bible, but what they actually stand for, like the 120 years, that was God's warning. 98 years is how long, roughly, that he built the ark in. And if anybody has a disagreement with me, I'm more than open in, you know, questions or anything else or where I get my dates from. A large portion of this is taken from world historians. Now, not this portion. This portion is primarily Bible. But after the flood, there's a lot of world historian views and things that are not in the Bible. But most of these dates are based on the Hebrew Bible. So the flood at 2348, and we're going to primarily today look back and get the Bible verses that correspond from creation to the flood. I don't think I'll get beyond there. But I'm going to give you a few more dates just to put a relationship in your mind. The Tower of Babel was 2242. Egypt began roughly the same time, because that was when God scattered the people upon the earth. The call of Abraham, 1922. Time of the judges, 1491. Time of the kings. Saul was the first, 1095. Split kingdom. So the kingdom was united for about 100 years, and then the split kingdom came about in 975. This was the north. This was the Hebrews split into the north and the south kingdom. So, when you hear dates for how old the pyramids are, you'll if you start looking at it, most secular historians say that the pyramids were built before creation. Numbers just don't work out. So, looking here where I wanted to see this. So, using the... So, man's ideas. Big Bang Theory, 13.7 billion years ago. Earth forms, 4.5 billion years ago. First life, 3.8 billion years ago. Into dinosaur age, 65 million years ago. First man appeared 200,000 years ago. Last ice age, 20,000 years ago. First civilization began 8,000 to 10,000 BC, and Egypt began in 3200 BC. Now that's man's idea. To make those numbers work, to have all of those man's numbers work, you have to disregard certain things, and you have to use man's made up aging process. Man uses a thing called carbon dating, and anytime you start arguing with a non-Christian, the first thing they're going to throw up is carbon dating. Well, folks, if you do some research and you go to look at all, there's a site called Operation Creation Research. This is a group of scientists out of Chicago who, well, they were working when I was a kid. They came to our church in Illinois when I was a kid, and one of the things that their basis was, they were trying to prove that the timeline that is accepted by men in the Big Bang Theory and all these things. They got about 5 years into their study, and all of a sudden they realized, can't happen, can't be. And they changed their whole thesis, they changed their frame of study, and several of them became Christians out of this. So, you know, but they are the ones who will tell you that they have actually carbon dated, used the scientific carbon dating, sent the carbon dating to several different laboratories of a tree. They sent a tree that was still living, they took a section out of it and sent it to several laboratories. And it was everywhere from 60,000 years old to 600,000 years old, you know, any number of things. The reason is there's all kinds of things that can affect carbon dating. The tree they chose was near an airport, so it got a lot more carbon into it, so that affected the dating. Is that the way it is? The whole thing is, it just proves that carbon dating is a totally fallible system. So if you base something on a fallible system, it no longer becomes science. It becomes guess. So, the guy who is considered one of the authorities, and he's an Anglican bishop, but he spent a lot of time. He was living 1581 to 1656. He spent a lot of time studying the Bible and studying secular histories, and put together that timeline that I kind of pop through there with the 4000 BC, and that is considered the basis for most biblical timelines that you'll see like this. And by the way, back there on my seat, there's a little larger timeline, like 32 foot long. And if any of y'all want to use it, you're welcome to take it home and look at it and study it. There's a lot of interesting things on it. It has the outline. At the top, it just has the basic timeline, and it has what's going on in the Bible in those times. And then down below, it has a lot of the things that are going on in the world at those times. And it's really interesting, but it's just hard to find a place to put 32 foot. But you can thumb through it. It's about a 2 foot wide stance when you open it up. You can thumb through it and get the first 10 frames of it roughly are to the flood. So if that kind of tells you that it's very detailed, it's interesting if you like history. If you don't like history, don't bother. But I enjoy history, and a lot of these things that we study in the Bible are very historical facts, and knowing when they happened in relationship to other things going on in the world, because like when Saul was traveling the world, what was going on in the world. And we'll, in one of the future lessons that I teach on the timeline, we'll get to that. Let's see, let me get to my next page of notes here. I have some extra notes here that I've printed out in case somebody asked me a question and I needed to defend something. But so now what I want to do now is I want to kind of go through, starting from creation, and kind of give y'all some major points of what happened. So Genesis 1:1 through 31 is when was the creation time frame. And we all know that in the beginning was the world. You know, we can go through that. I don't feel that we need to go through step by step the creation. That was 7 days. 3 days later, roughly, the curse. That's a number that kind of comes out of Septuagint versus coming out of the Bible. But the Septuagint is acknowledged as historically correct or based on true facts. The reason it wasn't included in the English Bible was the canon of scriptures was based on, there were five facts, and that's a whole sermon in itself, the five facts and what made the canon of scriptures. But it didn't pass the mustard for the canon of scriptures. One of the things about the canon of scriptures that most of the Septuagint failed was the fact that it had to be quoted later in the Bible. Anything that wasn't quoted at some point in time later in the Bible didn't muster the canon of scriptures. The Septuagint has a lot of historical facts and a lot of more secular type stuff in it. So after the creation, we go to where Seth was born in Genesis 5:3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And then if you scroll on down to 5:6, and Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. So Enos is at 3769 BC. Now, I'm not going to keep saying around, because y'all can just understand it's around that time. These numbers are all, you know, give or take a few years, but they'll give you a historical reference to what's going on. But if you roll down to Genesis, now, we understand Genesis is a lot of genealogy. If you roll down to Genesis 5:9, and Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. So this is 3679 B.C. And then 5:12, and Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. I think that's how that's pronounced. So that puts you to 3609. And then in 5:15, And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. So Jared was born in 3544. And then Enoch was born when Jared was 162 in 518. And Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. So Methuselah was born in 3317. So what's Methuselah? Who's Methuselah? Anybody? How about the longest living man in the Bible? Is that he was 900 and boy, I can't. You know, I looked at that this morning. 900 and some odd years. If he, oh, it's on that deal, isn't it? 969. I couldn't remember it off the top of my head. So, then Lamech, born when Methuselah was 187 and 525, and then in 528, Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah. So here in just these few, we have gone right from creation to the flood. So the flood is, you know, it's 2,000 years separation from creation, but only six generations. If you add that up, these folks are living a long time. And like we say, Methuselah, 969 years. If you look in that little insert there, you'll see all of these. Adam was 930, Seth 912, Enos 905, Cain 910, Mahalalel 895, Jared 962, Enoch 365. It says God took him on that. He's one of the few men in the Bible that didn't die. One of two? Am I right? Did God translate two? Yep. Then Methuselah is 969 and Lamech is 777. So you can get just with a few people you can get from Adam to Noah. And if you actually weed out some in between, you can get it down to six people that interlink between the two. So then we have the flood. Did I get to the right place to go to the flood? No, I haven't gotten to the flood right place. So Shem was born when Noah was 502, and that's Genesis 11:10. So we jump a few. For genealogy, we jump a few to 11:10. Let me get over there. 11:10. The generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat a. So there we start with Shem's descendants. But 11:10. When does it say that? Okay. But Shem was born when Noah was 502. Noah was born from when Lamech was 182. So with Shem, we're at 2446 BC. And the flood was when Noah was 600. So Noah got on the boat at 600 years old. And he had had a son at 502. And if you do a little number crunch, and you'll find out that when Noah was told to build the ark, he had three sons. And then the rest were born while he was building the ark. When they entered the ark, this was 98 years later, when they entered the ark, he had his eight sons and daughter-in-laws on board, and seven of the clean and two of the unclean. So, one of the things some even Christian historians want to say is, well, the dinosaurs, they all went away with the flood. Can't do it. Can't get there from here. They had to be gone before the flood because God told Noah to take two of all living animals. And I don't think Noah had to go out and round up two of. I think that those animals showed up ready and willing and able and directed by God to come to the door of that ark. And I think that the dinosaurs were extinct well before then. And just because otherwise they would have had to be on the ark. There was no exception made when God talks about putting two of each kind on the ark. He didn't say, except dinosaurs. So, are there questions that you can't answer? Absolutely, and that's one of them I can't answer. I don't know where they fit in the thing. I don't know if they weren't in the area of the earth that Noah was in. I don't know if God didn't consider those, or if they were. I feel they were extinct well before the ark. You had 2,000 years almost that they could have been extinct. We haven't ever found just tons and tons of these of their bones anywhere. So God may have created them in a small number to do a certain thing, and then once they were done, He allowed them to become extinct. We still have animals going extinct, and I don't think that there's any accidents with God. I think that those animals that go extinct, God says, okay, your time on earth, your usefulness to earth is done. And we aren't going to create any more. We aren't going to allow any more of y'all to be born. And I don't think that any group on this earth can stop that from happening. When God determines that He's going to eliminate a species, He's going to eliminate that species. So, we get to the flood, and life as we know it changes on the earth. If you start doing a little bit of research, very few men lived over the age of 100 after the flood. Do I think that was by accident? No, I don't think that was by accident. I think God had a plan and a reason. I think that if you read where it says the foundation, the firmament above was filled with. I think there was a shield of water that stopped certain things, and I think God just said that. Okay, now men are going to live a shorter time. I think it's part of the curse of the flood that He had given us 2,000 years. Now, we all know God's sovereign. We all know that God lays out plans. But I think that He creates some of these through scientific methodology, and one of those is I think He used a shield of water to stop radiation that we now are affected by that decreases our lifespan. Can't prove it. If you don't want to believe it, that's fine. But that's Neil's personal belief on that. Like I say, I can't prove it by the Bible, but there is a definite change in lifespans from the flood on. And that you can't argue with. and I'm going to kind of go on through some of these other chronological events and lay the groundwork for future ones. Of Aphrodite's born when Shem was 100. That's Shem's child. Salah born when Aphrodite was 35. Now we see a huge number change here from kids being born at 100, 200, 500, down to 35. So that shows you the significant change in life here. Eber was born when Sarah was 30. Genesis 11:14. I can get any of y'all that want a copy of this a copy of it, but I'm just going to go through it. Peleg was born when Eber was 34. So we're at 2246 BC in Genesis 11:16. Reu was born when Peleg was 30. 2217 BC. Serug born when Reu was 32. Nahor born when Serug was 30. Terah was born when Nahor was 29. Abraham was born when Terah was 130. Now, Abraham, here we have a jump back up for age, but it's only a few of them there that, and those were, I believe, special issues where God had a reason for someone to be born later in life. Abraham enters Canaan at 75. Exodus from the Jews at 430 years of slavery. And then birth of Christ, earth is 4,000 years old, and different people say different things. I think that that's where we set the timeline as zero. Some say 4 BC. You know, there's different numbers used. There's a lot of things that went on. So now, Abraham left Haran in 2083. The Jews left. The Jews' exodus was 1491. Start of the temple was 1012 BC. Jeroboam's golden calves was 974 BC. So the year of creation equals 584 plus 3420 or 4004 BC. Let me go back through here and try to find where all. So that whole thing I talked about with Noah, those are based on Genesis 6, 3 through 7. From Clickwork, these 120 years would seem to be absolute maximum for the time given to build the ark, but scriptures reveal much more, allowing us to be more accurate. For example, Noah was 500 when Japheth, the first of his sons, was born, Genesis 5:32, yet Noah's second son, Shem, had his first son 2 years after the flood when he was 100. This means that Shem was 98 years old when the flood came, and also means that Shem was born when Noah was 502 years old. So for Noah to begin having children at 500 means that Japheth was indeed the older brother. When God finally gave Noah instructions to build the ark, it was not at the beginning of the 120-year countdown. God told Noah that he, his wife, and three sons and their wives would go aboard the ark at this time. Deducing that Shem was born 98 years before the flood, it would be no more than that length of time. So, although the Bible is silent on the exact timing, it is reasonable to assume that some time lapsed for the three sons to grow up and find a wife. I would be most comfortable giving a range of anywhere from 20 to 40 years. When I say 98, that's a max number. You can come down. You can count it down to 75 years. So Noah's a pretty good builder. If you look at how big that ark was pretty good sized undertaking, and it was basically him and his sons build. Or I think it was only him and his sons building. I don't think he had hired any hands to help. I think that would have been. Let me go back here. I may be done early, y'all. I thought it would take me longer. I guess I'm talking too fast. So, where is it here? So if you take these times and you put them on a chart, and the timelines here help show this is how few there were between Adam and the flood. There's a lot of other events that happened in the Bible during this time frame. A lot of groundwork was laid for the future. My thought my thought is Noah had to be a fairly intelligent man, one, from the building of the ark, but two, I think that a lot of world history was stored in Noah's head, and I think a lot of the things that we know of were told to Noah from his father and from his grandfather and through his generations, and I think that Noah carried a lot of the world history in his head, and that is where we get a lot of the basis of what we consider world history. I think that somebody, I want to say probably Adam, was given the accounting of the creation. I do think that he and God in those 3 days communed in the garden. It says that they communed in the garden. And I think some of that communal time was the fact that he was given the history of creation and things like that. And I also think that Noah had the time in the ark, that it was 150 days from the time he was sealed in the ark till the time the waters receded. 150 days, I think he spent a lot of his time writing things down. I think, maybe totally wrong. He either spent it writing it down or he spent it imparting it to his kids, because I don't know exactly where writing became, where a common language became. I believe the Hebrew language was there, and I believe that a lot of this was written in Hebrew. And based on Noah's level of knowledge, I think that he very possibly wrote a lot of these things down, and a lot of the things that we know today were based on what he wrote down. And with that, I'm going to call it a morning. Any questions? Sorry, Lucian, I didn't go over 5 minutes.
Thank you.